life has officially knocked me on my ass. I sit here now and I watch the days go past. The referee, he done counted to 10. Try to get back up, I fall back down again. He always said he'd be right there for me. Now I need him most, and he can't be. Life is a cruel, twisted bitch that way, and I'm sick and tired of the games it likes to play. So now I'm done playing life's games, throwing in my car. I'm checking out, and I ain't never going home. Life will pull the rug out from under you, my friend. While you're on the ground, it'll kick you once again. You can try to cheat it, you can try to lie, and somehow it knows, and it'll knock you down a side. So now I'm done playing life's games. I'm throwing in my cards, I'm not running this race. Wish everybody would just leave me alone. Well, I'm checking out, I ain't never going home.
Welcome back, my friends. Second hour of Perspectives on America on this 28th day of the month. Jeffrey Bennett here. You know, it's interesting looking back on things we covered during the first hour. I spent more time talking about the invasion of this nation than anything else. It was not my intent to do so because I've grown so damn tired of it. And I think that the opening music for the first hour, which, by the way, was the opening for the second hour, was done by the same artist whose name I cannot recall right now. Never heard the guy before. And, wow, powerful, powerful. Of course, we close with Bob Dylan for the end of the first hour. And Bob's doing some interesting pieces. Very interesting pieces. I had to take a quick sip of something. You know, an interesting range of writers out there, and there's some I don't catch as often as I should. James Howard Kunstler is quite an interesting guy. He has a twisted sense of humor. The name of his website is technically James Howard Kunstler. But he goes under the name of Cluster F Nation. Strange. His latest column is what he refers to as a wake-up call. And he begins by giving a quote of Theodore Dalrymple. Those who organize the disaster will take advantage of the inevitable discontent arising from efforts to overcome it. For if there's one thing that they are skilled in, it's demagoguery. Kunstler begins by asking the question, can you feel it? The tension rising to the red line runs clear through all of Western civilization. We are ruled by governments of fiends. But now the sun rides higher in the sky. The sap is rising in the northern forest. The earth heaves. The buds swell and blush, and something is in the air. The animals are waking from their long winter sleep. Yet the natives are restless. The two traditional political divisions, liberal and conservatives, died with COVID. Now they are simply the sane versus the insane. The sane have had enough of being pushed around by the insane. And the insane don't register much of what reality tries to tell them. They have a body of insane ideas to comfort and protect them from reality's rigors. And to call that body of ideas an ideology is way too polite. And that the insane call themselves progressive is a signature of their insanity. Progress toward what better state of things? Toward a supremacy of fiends, sadists, degenerates, and morons seizing riches and power by every dishonest means possible outside the rule of law and common decency? It's not even suitable to call them communists. They lack the necessary idealism for that. They don't expect to put their shoulders to the wheel with their fellow man. They just want to grab your stuff and then kill you so they don't have to hear any complaints. The insane do not believe any of the theoretical that they want to force you to swallow. They don't care about climate change. It's just a cudge. It's just a cudgel that they use to beat everyone over the head so they can steal your stuff. They don't care about democracy. It's just a line of, oh my goodness, I didn't know this word was in here. It's just a line of bullshit to cover up their election stealing. You suppose that sane people would keep using electronic vote tabulating machines that were demonstrably connected to the internet and thus hackable if they cared about election integrity? Of course not. They would arrange a PDQ to junk them and use paper ballots the way it used to be done. And only in person at polling places with absentee exceptions only for people out of the country. Interesting image I found that I posted with this article, with a sign hanging on a fence in front of what appears to be a factory, or maybe it's a building in a private airline. You know, a little private airport. And the sign says, beware of a third wave of propaganda and a new strain of bullshit. The insane don't care about public health. Everything it is known about the COVID-19 vaccinations tells us that they are unsafe and don't prevent infection or transmission of a flu-like illness that might not even be what it officially is labeled as. Our public health officials in the FDA and the CDC and in other corners of the Department of Health and Human Services, they lie about everything they're responsible for. Last week, the CDC under Director Mandy Cohen released a 148-page study on myocarditis reactions to mRNA shots. And every word on every page of the document was redacted. And the CDC printed countless copies of the report with 148 utterly blank pages. And then preferred them to the news media. How is that not insane? The insane do not care about the rule of law. The conduct of lawfare is the subversion of the law by dishonest means. A species of racketeering. And that is why lawfare rogues such as Mark Elias and Norm Eisen and Andrew Weissman and Mary McCord and Lisa McConnell and Matthew Graves and Merrick Garland should be charged under the federal RICO statutes for conspiring to deprive sane citizens of their rights and property in the many cases related to the 1621 riot at the U.S. Capitol. It is, so far, an abiding mystery of contemporary history as to how New York Attorney General Letitia James managed to get away with prosecuting a real estate case against Trump that was no more than victimless business as usual between a borrower and his lenders. Ms. James ran for that elected office promising to get Mr. Trump on something, anything. That's how the rule of law works. Under the rule of law, first you determine that there's a crime. Then you go looking for who did the crime. Oh, Letitia James must be insane. Or just pretty damn stupid. The short-term gain of stealing Trump's property under a false color of law and creating impediments to his election campaign will sooner or later blow back at her as a matter of malicious prosecution and plausibly racketeering as well. And with whom does she conspire to bring this case? Oh, hopefully one day we'll find out. And she'll eventually be disgraced publicly as her teammate, Fannie Willis, has already been disgraced in Fulton County, Georgia. Let me tell you something that all sane people now know but won't talk about, for fear of being crushed by the levers of lawfare. It all looks like a concerted effort by people of color to railroad people of non-color. If you think that that is a good thing for race relations in our country, then you're pretty damned insane. It is interesting, the number of interviews done with people of color who have typically voted Democrat. Too many of them are coming out saying, no more. But here's some more things that are insane. Relitigating the First Amendment is insane. It means what it says and states it plainly. The open border is insane. No credible sovereign polity would allow it. It would be opposed with force if necessary. Turning children into transsexuals on a wholesale basis is insane. And fiendishly so. Everybody knows it's not good for the children or for our society as a whole, but fiends got defined. And if you try to deprive them of being fiends, then you are guilty of hate. The war on Ukraine is insane. Oh, we certainly didn't ignite it. Who in the living daylights is calling me? Probably Walgreens. These jerks. I'm going to kick their butts. I'm fed up with them. They constantly call me. My broadcast went silent. How long ago was that? 18 minutes ago. That would have been the last hour. Simply amazing. Monica Lewinsky. Hallelujah. Come on. Who the heck tried to call me here? This drives me nuts. It's a sales call. Freaking scumbags. Anyway, back to our story here. So, toward the end of last hour, we brought up this discussion about Mr. Zelensky, the Ukraine, and blah, 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 blah. Mother, war in Ukraine is insane. We did not ignite it in the service of democracy. No, our pawn over there, Mr. Zelensky, canceled the national elections last year. The war was arguably an effort by our CIA to deprive Russia of its market for, what the heck is nat gas in Europe? which deprived Russia of a great deal of money. In other words, of prosperity. While the project failed, Russia overcame NATO's proxy army, found other markets for its gas. They blow up the Nord Stream pipelines, only served to impoverish and weaken our NATO allies, who no longer have affordable gas to run their industries. The leaders of those allies were too insane to recognize that the Nord Stream op was an act of war against them. But they were also busy destroying themselves, just like the USA, with open borders. But they, probably like us, will all end up in a new medievalism ruled by savages. I mean, you'd have to be insane to arrange that for yourself, wouldn't you? But what's most obviously insane in our country is that the insane party is pretending to nominate the mentally unfit White House placekeeper, Joe E. Biden, for re-election. You would think that if that party wanted to retain power, they'd run a candidate who, though insane, was not also visibly senile. But the rank and file of this party are so damned insane to see that this dodge ain't working. They're pretending with all their might that this is okay. But the growing faction of the sane don't notice. So sensing the growing impatience with insanity among the voters, the insane party has reached its point of terminal desperation. What will they try next? Murder? I mean, why not? Nothing else seems to work. They're too far gone in their insanity to understand that winter is over. We've entered the season of rebirth and renewal. It's starting with a renewed appreciation for being sane and for that indispensable ingredient that makes liberty in a free society possible. Good faith. Really? The only question left is, how rough do they intend to play to prevent the return of sanity and good faith? Profound. Absolutely profound. But you know, I guess a good life doesn't come easy. Not for any of us. Not anymore. Justin Smith starts talking about the fact that he never thought he'd see the day when police officers would be forced to do nothing while youths, young black thugs from 15 to 55 and older, rip through stores taking whatever they want without laying the first nickel on the counter in payment. So much for the rule of law in America. So much for the work ethic these days, since it's been condemned as a mythological beast that may have once existed in a faraway land that seems to have died a slow death at the hands of the takers. You know, the Marxist, Maoist commies who tout the wonders of free stuff, but according to Uncle Sam. Oh yeah, folks, life in the real world ain't fun for any of us. Many live in plain, no-frills life, basic, cramped, meager conditions. But at least it's real, it's ours. Complain as we will, not some delusional, fantastical, utopian wonderland where death and destruction are the rule once the curtains fall away. And for whatever effort they put forth, the takers' greatest effort seen in their nihilistic destruction of all around, simply because they don't have the same quality of goods. A large bank account, nice things that more driven, capable people have acquired for themselves. No, these punks tread water, working menial jobs if they have any at all. They listen to songs created by others while they create nothing, and they indulge in drugs and alcohol to alter their minds and make their meaningless lives more tolerable. Well, simple terms, life does not owe anyone a damn thing. Kara Lawson, head coach for Duke University women's basketball team and graduate of the University of Tennessee. On July the 5th of 2022, she made this statement. That we all wait in life for things to get easier, but it'll never get easier. What happens is you handle hard better. That's what happens. Most people think that it's going to get easier. Life is going to get easier. Basketball is going to get easier. School is going to get easier. But none of it ever gets easier. No, what happens is you become someone who handles hard stuff better. And if you think life, when you leave college, is going to all of a sudden get easier because you graduated and you got a Duke degree, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So make yourself a person that handles hard well. An incredible number of Americans today have been coddled, pampered, and fed a sense of entitlement from birth that continued into their early adulthood, making them always look to others or the government for help in acquiring their needs and wants. They've been raised without a backbone, weak-willed, dependent. So whenever they find themselves to be in a minority, they more often than not petition the federal and state governments. They protest, they riot, all in order that their particular concerns are proactively pursued and implemented as favored, privileged, superior. No matter how insane, from destroying humanity by way of transgenderism or energy or job-killing, fallacious climate change policies. From Justin Smith's earliest memories, he saw hard men laughing, loving, fighting hard, and playing just as hard as they'd each rise day to head out to work. In the mines, the forests, office buildings, and on the nation's lines of defense. In a particular, he recalls something of worth from each of them, much as he did from his own granddad, who was a coal miner and a stonemason. They were a hardy bunch of industrial scrappers who pulled up their sleeves and worked hard to make a better life for themselves and their children, to build better communities, in fact, a better America. But you see, what passes for young so-called men today is but a mere shadow of men of worth from better days gone by. What with their feminine appearances and their aversion to doing anything to break a sweat. And aside from weak bodies, too much coddling has made their minds work in a new, cunning, devious manner, in which they waste enormous amounts of effort sidestepping real work and figuring out how to get something for nothing rather than perform an honest day's work to pay for bills that they make without any intention of ever repaying, such as student loans. But that's not their fault. It's Joey. Joey's trying to buy their votes by taking care of their student loans. And yet half America seems content to allow Uncle Sam to make life better for them and their children via the welfare system and the government cheese, even though it means a life of subsistence, just scraping by. And although today many have developed gaming the system into a real art, whereby they live just about as good as anyone working a full-time job, they got HUD homes. They got them EBT cards. Oh, I paid for my cruise with my EBT card. Oh, I'll never forget those words. What about the late model cars and the color TVs, the government purchased cell phones? Life doesn't owe any of us a damn thing, people, regardless of the circumstances and station of our birth. The miracle of our birth alone doesn't mean that we are automatically owed a job, a house, a bed, or a single meal after we're a grown adult and supposedly capable of doing for yourself. You're not owed recognition and understanding for simply existing. And neither are you owed success and comfort, abundance and happiness, or immunity from the problems, the pain, the suffering that is simply a part of the human condition. We certainly aren't due any money that we haven't earned through our own sweat and effort. Not from me, American taxpayers, or the federal government. The only thing that anyone should expect from the government, if we are to accept the contract found in our Constitution, are those things enumerated in its original form. And in that sense, we are owed a strong, affirmative, and fierce defense of our inalienable God-given rights, as expressed and defined in the Bill of Rights. To be left alone to our own devices, to live and thrive as free-born Americans without interference from the government nor its agents, where no harm is being done. People aren't created equal in the very real definition of the words. And life has never been fair to anyone, people. And yet the constant refrain heard all across the levels of American society today, from the ranks of the Mao, Marxist, Maoist, totalitarians, these lovers of democracy, is that the world is so unfair. Oh, yeah, they were evidently raised to believe that all men are created equal in the context of the Declaration of Independence, which meant that they were somehow guaranteed equal outcomes in everyday life instead of the simple equality under the law, as was intended. And their voices are now amplified by an out-of-control regime that seeks to use their envy to complete the fundamental transformation of America. Thank you very much, Barack Obama. By any means necessary, no matter how unconstitutional or illegal they might be and are currently proving to be. Yeah. Those few words were quoted by Barack Obama a long time ago when he specifically discussed the fundamental transformation of America. You know, if we get off our butts and stand on our own two feet and make our way through the merit of our own knowledge and work, that they're now a thing of the past. That is all the poorest results in school and on the job are given the same weight and worth as the best. And everybody gets a participation trophy. And in its place comes envy, greed and sloth, gluttony and lies and sex and murder. The destroyer of the worlds are the rule. For a generation indoctrinated through Marxist, Maoist, multiculturalist doctrine and propaganda. All taught from kindergarten through the university. And are now all driven by an unhinged hate and anger directed at white society and capitalism. Huh? And we see it more and more often. And all of this is in part is the reason we see whole cities controlled by the Marxist Maoists and the totalitarian minded enacting new laws that make the theft of anything $900 or less a misdemeanor, giving way to thousands of groups of poorly taught, undisciplined, predominantly black youths rampaging, rioting, looting numerous times a day, taking $900 worth of merchandise, $900 worth of merchandise nine times a day, if not more. And they're taught racism and hatred, and they're all driven by envy and greed. Ladies and gentlemen, these are amongst the reasons that cities across America are folding up. They're shriveling like a crop attacked by locusts. They're dying on the vine where once they thrived. Back when our people, indeed our youth, had more pure hearts, more and moral directions, and had not strayed far and away from America's Christian roots. Over the past 30 years, the nutcases of the Democratic Party have advocated a pathologically negative agenda for America that is based on destroying the founding and revising history to portray early America as evil and worth casting on the ash heap of history, accelerating their plans through the public education system. And an entire generation of America's youth have been brainwashed to believe that our planet is dying due to man-made CO2 and climate change. And that's all in defiance of actual science. And if that isn't enough, we're all constantly inundated with one alarm after another raised over racism. Even as reverse racism against whites is now advocated, and capitalism, which hasn't really existed in America for over 100 years, and homophobia and gender bigotry, capitalist oppression. Excuse me. Sorry about that. You start choking. Woohoo. Capitalist depression. Capitalism hasn't existed in America for over 100 years. But we've got homophobia and gender bigotry and capitalist oppression, even though our system is economic fascism. And the fallacious assertion that white supremacist Nazis are ascending in every community in America. The real problem is found within the ranks of the takers. The takers just can't face the fact that life ain't easy for anyone, especially the makers. And it never has been, although exceptions can be found in those born into wealth. But even the wealthy are weighted with life's problems, if of a different variety. Much as the old adage says that money can't buy you love or happiness, even if it does buy you a line of coke and hookers. In a sad sort of dystopian world of a different immoral construct, bought you a line of coke and hookers. Interesting. I just read that line, and I think of when Justin Smith submitted this work to me, when I published it. And son of a gun, over a couple of days ago, the news started breaking out about who's that guy, P. Daddy, or whatever the heck his name is. That's what he's been dealing with, a line of coke and hookers. Story for another day. But the routines that many of us indulge in daily have made the largest percentage of Americans, a fairly large majority, complacent and apathetic, caring next to nothing on matters of government, whether or not they are actually living free. I have to say this. That line that I've just shared with you from Justin hits me very hard. Hits me hard because I have made similar statements on the air for a good number of years to my listening audience. Oh, and I'm going to strongly urge that some of that listening audience got tired listening to my message and tuned out. Why? I told the truth and they couldn't handle it. That's reality, ladies and gentlemen. Let me reread this, a portion of this sentence. A fairly large majority of Americans are complacent and apathetic, and they care next to nothing on matters of government and whether or not they are actually living free. Let me rephrase this. How many times have you heard me come on the air and talk about the fact that I'm not here to entertain? Oh, there are moments that little entertainment is thrown in there. I know that. But it's never been my key point. My key point has always been to have our listening audience become truly aware of exactly what we're dealing with and not accept it, but to stand up and get up off your butts and take a responsibility within your family, within your neighborhood, and begin to reach out and make a difference in the way people think, if they even have that ability to think. Let me put it this bluntly. If you tuned into this program tonight to be entertained, turn your computer off, turn your cell phone off. Don't even bother. That's not what I came here to do. It's to challenge you. We are not living free. But then, we may have no real say-so in it any longer. Think about this. Americans rise each and every morning. They check their emails, their cell phones. They shower, they shave, maybe they brush their teeth. And then they rush off to their same everyday, boring, regular job that may or may not quite pay the bills. And they go out and grab that $7 or $8 cup of Starbucks special latte of the day. And then you go do a job that you find meaningless. At the end of the day, you might grab some overpriced fast food on the way home. You know, kind of relax. Maybe drink a cheap beer, a glass of whiskey. Tune into The Voice. Or is that porn? Then you call some friends to complain over how bad things are, and you simply watch some news until you call it a night, sleeping fitfully and rising the next morning to do it all over again every day afterward, year after year, until one day somebody hands you your walking papers for a copper watch at the point of your retirement. Ladies and gentlemen, too many live under the delusion that they should be able to drive brand new $60,000 cars, own $400,000 homes complete with the most exquisite adornments and furniture on your $15 an hour paycheck at Mickey D's. Maybe you live in California, and if you're going to be allowed to keep your job at McDonald's in California, they're going to pay you $20 an hour now. But have you ever put forth the effort to gain useful knowledge demanded by skilled and professional career positions in order to make yourselves more valuable to society on the whole, and thus able to demand a salary that would allow you to buy all the trappings of such success? Far too many people just cast an envious eye in the direction of the makers and scheme on how to take what they want by any scheme, any illegal act, any means necessary. too many believe that their mere existence entitles them to other people's property, just because deep down in your black little souls, they really, really want it. Just not enough to go after it the right way. They really, really want what? The home, the car, the lifestyle? My friends, our youth have lost all sense of shame. And they seem fine with getting anything they want right when they want it, no matter how they come to acquire it. They never learn that something worth having is worth the work it takes to purchase. As if stuff is just supposed to fall from the heavens and land in your lap. Simple. Things of real worth don't come easy. Oh, sure, not everyone has the intelligence and the capability to become a surgeon. But if that's your dream, you'll never know if you could have been one until you try. Same for anything else that any of you folks are dreaming of being. No matter if you dream of being a content farmer or a successful writer, whatever you want in life, you've got to put forth the effort to achieve competency in that field and then go for it. Do it. You want something of worth in life. Not only we, but our children and our grandchildren must stop depending on other people. Get to venture out on their own in some business or capacity that you love rather than settling to work for somebody else during your entire life. Thank God for your own sake. Quit wallowing in self-pity over bad circumstances created by your own bad choices. Go back to the words of Kara Lawson. Any pursuit in life, if you want to be successful, it goes to the people that handle hard well. Those are the people that get the stuff they want. People that wait around for easy. Oh, you see them down at the bus stop. You probably see them at freaking Starbucks, too. These folks are waiting on the easy bus to come around. Easy bus never comes around. Go handle hard. Too many parents, too many schools, too many churches have failed America by failing to teach. Hard times won't break you. If only you have the right state of mind on life. If American people would have the right state of mind on life. Number one, that there is a loving God. No one will ever find a fulfilling or positive way of life by looking to the government for answers and solutions. Our society stopped teaching the youth how to be strong and independent somewhere along the way, as the tyrant wannabes persisted in teaching everyone's a victim. As you see, my friends, the fact remains today. Anyone can be a proud survivor of hard times if only they persevere and never give up, never give in to defeat. Choosing to ultimately succeed, live good, prosperous, and happy lives. Far better way to live. A good number of you know what I have gone through for this past over 2.5 years now, I think, or maybe just, yeah, whatever. Had that heart attack. And a doctor was a jerk. It actually caused me more grief in my health with that catheter, that tube they stuck up my thing so that I wouldn't pee on the doctor. The doctor who never did meet with me, never came to the room to see how I was doing the 2 or 3 days I was still in the hospital after the couple of stents he stuck in me. Catheter caused me close to 1.5 years of nothing but pure hell. In and out of the ER, in and out of the hospital, so much. Frankly, there were some people in that medical field that should have been booted out. Because they didn't care. They thought they knew what they were doing, but they really don't. And yet there were some great people in some of those ER visits. And I had a lot of them. Some nights we took the ambulance into the emergency room. Other nights, my wife drove me over there. Other nights, I drove myself. Because my wife's driving is enough to give me a heart attack. I've shared all these stories with you before. As time went on, I began to start seeing a counselor about 6-7 months ago. We get together once a month. I had an appointment with her for 10 o'clock this morning. Several days ago, I sent her a letter. Because her concern is me improving my situation. And yet, every time I would meet with her, her name is Raina. Every time I would meet with her, she asked a lot of questions, but she didn't really provide any counters to me. Her reaction was always a smile. So I sent her this email the other night. Good morning, Raina. First of all, I have an appointment with you for this coming Thursday, March 28th at 10 o'clock. At this point, I wish to cancel the appointment for reasons that I will share with you below. Since I saw you last month, my life has taken on some amazing changes. Although I'm as tired as can be this morning, it's not because I'm in a state of depression. It's because over the past 4 weeks, I've been physically doing more work in and around my home than I've been able to do for this past 2.5 years plus. I've done some intense work in my bedroom slash office, which makes me feel good, and that is not the end of it all. I've been trying to clean up, rearrange my garage, most of which has to do with redoing shelves, my workbench area. It's almost too clean, but it has made things a lot better to find the things that are used on a regular basis. House cleaning stuff, auto stuff, painting stuff, gardening stuff, and that is the most interesting part, the gardening stuff. And although my wife and I keep talking about selling our home and relocating somewhat locally, we still have the 20-year-old granddaughter living with us, in addition to her father, who was nearly killed about 1.5 years ago as he was run over by a truck. He's been receiving horrible medical assistance and far more. But he's still living with us. So what makes things difficult to sell a house? The father doesn't really do much to help us. Doesn't keep it clean. But let's go back to the garden issue. I continue the letter saying whether we sell or not, this neighborhood is selling quite well for extremely good money. I have been putting massive efforts into redeveloping our garden area in both the front and backyards. There's days, most of them, that I just can't nor want to stop what I am accomplishing. I have been doing major soil and gravel and rock work in preparation for putting in some new plants. In addition to the number of aloe vera plants, which I have split up and replanted in the backyard garden areas. And by the way, all of our aloe vera plants have grown over the past 38 years from a single plant given to us by my grandfather. But my son, who was 4 years of age at the time, and I drove home to Arizona from Lake Forest, Illinois, some 37 years ago. Well, after boring you with all of this, Rain, I'm doing better than I have done in a very long time. We shall see what and how the future continues to do with and for me. At some point, I may get back in touch with you, but I thank you for being there. And I signed it off. She sent me a profound email the next morning after she had actually that afternoon, which was, I think I sent this note to her on the 26th, early in the morning when I was writing this. There are days I don't get a lot of sleep. Nights I don't get a lot of sleep. I was up late again last night. Part of it was working on some of Charlie Dickens' conversions. Part of it was going through emails, cleaning stuff out. Part of it was going out to get something to eat last night. I get off the air now. I'm going to go eat some stuff I had left from last night's dinner because I couldn't eat it all. But I've been working out in the garden today. I mean, I got up early this morning, took off. I had to go pick up some stuff I shared with you earlier. Brought some plants home. I won't be planting today. I've got to get the digging starting. Got to start the digging. Went into Home Depot, fought some issues with some sprinkler things. I'm still not happy with what I've found. I know what I want. These dumb jerks just don't seem to have what I want. And it's like, what the hell's going on? I should have looked at the other Home Depot I went to, the one that had the better nursery. They probably had a better stock of product. So I may have to go back over there and take a look. Yep, how long was I shutting dead? I'm here. How long have we been down? Oh, 10 seconds. That we can live with. I've probably shut up for 10 seconds. If you can get me to shut up for 10 seconds during an hour program or a two-hour program, that would be interesting. Anyway, I'm babbling. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'd frankly like to lay down and go to sleep, but I've got to eat. So I can take my meds and get back to work. I want to thank all of you for being with me today, tolerating my attitudes, but some of what we've shared with you from James Kunstler, from Justin O. Smith, is all worth it. If nothing else, it helps you to think. So it's time for me to go. You have a good weekend. I will see you next Tuesday. You need to talk to me about anything, give me a holler, 602-799-8214. You want to talk gold, silver, you want to know how to quit smoking, give me a call. I can help you with that too. I won't sell you anything for that kind of information. Have a great weekend, and stay tuned. Got some good program coming up next hour. He always is. Join him. Take care. I'll see you when I see you. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man. Whose place is in the past, hand in hand with the guns and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.